Certainly. So my background, I am a financial analyst. I've been covering the global equity markets for 25 years. My focus in the last 5 to 10 years has become the global electricity market, and I examine and report on the trends and the great transformation that's happening in the global electricity sector at the moment, and it's being driven by a combination of energy efficiency and massive rollout of renewable energy developments on the back of improving financial economics and improving technology. So as to your question, I mean, to me there was a absolute globally record transaction that was announced last week in Dubai. I think it will highlight, it highlights the absolute transformation of the global markets and the inevitability of the push towards renewable energy. In Dubai, a solar feed-in tariff was signed for $30 per megawatt hour. That's US $30 per megawatt hour, or 3 cents per kilowatt hour. Now, that is below the cost of a new coal-fired power plant anywhere in the world. So what is also staggering about that $30 a megawatt hour price that's been delivered, it is 50% lower than a similar contract that Dubai signed only 1 year ago. So in other words, in the space of 12 months, we've seen the price of delivered solar electricity in Dubai drop 50%. Now, to me, that just means the game is over. It's only a matter of time before we get the full transformation towards renewable energy, energy efficiency, battery storage, and so on.
Because money is going to decide, in a way. Regardless of what people are saying, it's the money that decides.
Exactly. Now, that's not in any way to downplay the importance of people getting involved, and the issue of climate change is absolutely pressing, and I suppose when I talk with a high degree of enthusiasm, I think the money will decide, as you say, but the real issue for your listeners is the fact, will it happen fast enough to in fact save the global climate? And that's where we need everything pushing in the right direction. We need global policy change, we need the finances happening, we need the continued technology development, and so on.
So you're sounding like it's a bit of an emergency, or maybe not a bit of an emergency, but a full-blown emergency we're facing, Tim.
Well, absolutely. So I look at the inevitability of the transformation happening from an economic and financial perspective, but you only have to read the reports in, say, the Sydney Morning Herald this week talking about how we're now likely to be seeing baseline readings of 400 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere as a reality in coming days. So the reality is the situation is pretty dire. It's getting worse rapidly. And so it's a question of, will the transformation of the world electricity market happen fast enough to alleviate the worst of the climate change impacts that are pending?
And what's your own impression? We have an election now in Australia. The next 50 days, people are going to be talking about this, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think it's an absolute imperative that everyone in Australia ask any candidate that's standing for the government or for a position in the federal government, what is their position on climate change? What is their position about the transition of the Australian economy to a low carbon future? Every candidate should be asked that in a public forum as many times as possible to make sure that we're only electing candidates who actually have a view on this and have actually considered the interests of Australia rather than the self-serving interests of a very narrow group of fossil fuel companies.
Yeah, they have way too much influence, it seems. It's hard to understand that because it's costing our economy dollars. It's costing our health. It's costing our international reputation, the whole box and dice.
It is. Now, one reason for my optimism is that for decades now we've had the fossil fuel companies obscuring the truth, trying to use misinformation and investing aggressively in developing fossil fuels so they can dig it up as quickly as they can. But just in the last couple of days, there's been a number of transactions and developments that suggests the worm is turning. And by that I mentioned yesterday, Total, so the French oil global giant, announced that they were spending over $1 billion buying Saft of France. Now, Saft is one of the world-leading battery manufacturers and one of the top couple of lithium-ion battery manufacturers specifically. Now, Total in 2011 also bought SunPower, which is one of the biggest solar development companies in the world. So there you have a global oil giant investing billions of dollars in trying to reinvent itself. Now, that's only one example, but Statoil of Norway announced yesterday a $1.4 billion investment in German offshore wind. We saw China Shenhua 2 weeks ago announce $2 billion investment in solar thermal, 1 gigawatt of solar thermal in China. And next month, Adani Enterprises, the developer of the Carmichael coal mine proposal in Queensland, they're opening next month the world's largest solar project in Tamil Nadu, a $650 million investment. So here you are, key proponents historically of the fossil fuel industry, and they're actually trying to reinvent their business model and trying to get on what I would argue is an inevitable transformation. So there are some positive signs.
Tim, I'd say there's not too many people on the planet that know more than you do about on this matter, on the economics of it. Do you think, what's your gut feeling about Adani, the Carmichael mine in Queensland? Is it going to develop? Like you just mentioned what they're doing in India. Do you think they'll try and do both, have an each-way bet?
They are trying to have an each-way bet, absolutely. But at the end of the day, I think the finances will tell. I don't think there is not a bank in the world who's come out publicly saying they're willing to risk investing in the Carmichael coal project in the Galilee. So for all that the mining minister of Queensland is giving a mining lease to Adani, he's made it absolutely conditional on the company reaching financial close. Now, to me, that's a gamble that Adani will never reach financial close for the project because it makes no financial sense. And you only have to look. Adani Enterprises, the proponent of this coal mine, announced their results last week. And in the detail, they've announced that they've invested $5, $10, $15 billion in solar project development in India in the last 12 to 18 months. So they are trying to transform themselves. At the moment, as you say, it's a bit of an each-way bet. But I thought it was very telling the day they were given a mining lease to go ahead with the project last month. Adani Enterprises announced they were deferring the project for a year. And so they're busy investing billions of dollars in solar and deferring the coal project. So I think that'll be the way it'll go, and that they'll defer it again the year after and the year after that, and eventually they'll walk away from it.
What a great note to end on. Thanks very much for that, Tim. You've become pretty much a regular on the show, so we'll catch up with you in a couple of months maybe and see what the situation is like then.
Sounds great. Thanks, Tony.